You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is very unique, where he shares the message of the gospel unlike anyone else. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is The Others, and The Others is in quotation marks. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11, and let me start by saying this. We've talked recently a little bit about Job. He gets thrown into the mix, and I'm not going to read anything out of the book of Job. But there was a meeting in heaven, and somehow the devil ends up at these meetings. And in this particular meeting a long time ago, God brings up Job. And as you've heard me say before, I don't want to be brought up in your meetings, right? Job was extraordinary, but when God brought Job up, then God allowed Satan to come after him. Now, we read about it, and it's all very encouraging, but Job lost 10 children, everything he owned, his health, didn't die, but all hell got unleashed on him. So if you look at Hebrews chapter 11, it starts out pretty good. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And it goes on to talk about all these things. By faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. And it gets into Cain and Abel and Noah, Abraham, big guns in the faith, extraordinary things that they do. Isaac, Jacob, keep going down. Moses, tons of stuff about Moses. And then you get down to, let's just jump in at 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon. Boom, just say Gideon. Huge story out of his life. Barak, Samson, complete catastrophe. But God mentions him in here as a person of tremendous faith. Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith, now look at this categories, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women, and look at verse 35, just on the fly here. Women received their dead raised to life again. And then there's the word, the others. Now, most people want to focus primarily on the front half, the first 34 verses of Hebrews 11, because though there's some challenges in there, the last thing it leaves off with there is women receive the dead raised to life again. Let's stop there. But who are the others? Others were tortured. Same chapter, same category, faith. Tortured, not accepting deliverance. And what does that mean? That means stories that I've heard firsthand where someone will capture a Christian and they don't threaten the husband. They threaten to kill the wife. They threaten to kill the children. And all they have to do is denounce Christ. Just deny that he is Lord, deny him completely. And they say, if you say those words, we will not shoot your wife and children. And then someone says those words and they kill everybody anyway. So you say, well, where's the faith? Where's God when someone is being tortured and they're not accepting deliverance? That goes on to say that they might obtain a better resurrection. You say, well, I don't want that kind of faith. I don't want the kind of faith where God would require me to be in a situation where I have to not deny him either way if I'm going to be killed, and especially if they're going to take my wife and children out. I don't want that kind of faith. But faith gives you the ability to be on either side of this verse, either side of the others. Verse 36, still others had trial of mockings and scourgings. Maybe not die, but being mocked. Now, if you're looking for yourself in these verses, the average American Christian doesn't make it. Maybe you've been mocked for being a Christian, probably not been scourged. Yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. People just stoned to death. That's what they did. I'll read you some verses in a minute. They were sawn in two. And for what reason is all this list here? Nothing but faith. They took a stand. They did what God told them to do. Were tempted. Okay, well, there we go. Anybody got tempted lately? Tempted. Were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. These people have so much faith and go through so much hardship, the world is not even worthy to have them on the planet. They wandered in deserts, in mountains, in dens, and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. So they went through all this stuff, then we come along, and it's part of a collective plan and purpose of God, where all of these details, the people who are delivered by faith and the people who die by faith, it all fits together. Now go to 2 Chronicles chapter 24, and I'm going to give you a few examples of what happened in Scripture. And by the way, I don't think this is done. It's hard to nail these numbers down, but around the world, not deaths, but people who live under constant pressure, persecution, mockings, it's close to 400 million on the planet right now. It's intense. And the number of people who die every day around the world for no other reason but that they're Christians, estimates are several hundred, it could be less. There's no way to really tell exactly. But the only reason they die is they will not renounce Christ. And that's how they go out. So 2 Chronicles 24:20, then the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, who stood above the people and said to them, thus says God, and this is where you get in trouble. You start reading Scripture and saying what God says. Why do you transgress the commandments of the Lord so that you cannot prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he also has forsaken you. So they conspired against him, and at the command of the king, they stoned him with stones in the court of the house of the Lord. They picked up rocks in the court of the Lord. Thus Joash, the king, did not remember the kindness which Jehoiada, his father, had done to him, but killed his son. And as he died, he said, the Lord, look on it and repay. It didn't go well for him. Spoke up, said what God told him to say, ends up dead. Someone else ends up dead. You go look at Elijah. I'm not going to read you all these. Ridicule, prophets of Baal, 1 Kings 17, before that even, running for his life. Jeremiah 20, Jeremiah 37, mockings, imprisonment for his message from God. And you go read about Paul again. I'm going to encourage you to go read this. I may read you some of this in just a second, but I mean, Paul went through, man, he got clobbered. I'll read it in a second. Go to Matthew chapter 5. This is Jesus speaking. Verse 10, let's just jump in there. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. So you're doing the right thing, you're doing the godly thing, and you get persecuted. God goes, you're blessed. I don't feel blessed. I feel terrible. I'm being persecuted. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. So they lie about you. What if you're trying to live a godly life at work and somebody gets it in for you? They know you're a Christian. They're just evil. And they make up some story. They lie and you lose your job. You go, well, this sucks. No, it's tremendous. If you're reading your Bible, you say, well, yeah, but it still feels bad. But Jesus says you're blessed because that's the accused you of something that wasn't true. And you got fired and you go home and go, you won't believe what happened today. I finally got fired for the right thing. What are we going to do? We're going to do what we've been doing. We're going to trust God. We're not trusting these jobs to keep us alive. We're trusting him. And if he's provided this long, he'll keep providing, I'm sure. I'm not going to read you the whole story. John the Baptist. Well, no, we didn't finish Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This thing about rejoicing and being exceedingly glad is like somebody gave you a house. Exceedingly glad. How do we get on that side of the ledger? Instead of moping around and complaining, and why did God do this and let this? Sat with a guy just the other day, and he has completely jacked his life up. And I said to him, you understand God didn't do any of this. He says, I know. I said, then you start by saying, I take responsibility and move forward. And there's about a half a dozen people in the room go, oh, he's talking about me. No, I'm talking about all six of you. Because I have this conversation all the time. People going, oh, why did God do this to me? Like, dude, what are you talking about? You've been a complete fool and an idiot and made all these choices, and that's why you're where you are. So let's put a stop to the nonsense and build forward and follow Jesus. You know what doesn't work. Let's try what does work. You say, yeah, but I've got pushback. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. At least you're not back where you were. John chapter 15. Now, before I keep reading you these verses, and we'll run out in a minute. You say, well, why do you read us this stuff occasionally? Like, we live in a free country. Not really. Not like it used to be. And I don't know that you're completely aware of what I'm about to say to you. There are people in this country, who hate us. They hate God. They hate Jesus. They hate the scriptures. They hate everything we stand for. And their focus and purpose and goal is to destroy us, eliminate us. You think it's just the Iranians that want to wipe out Israel? There are ungodly people in this country that would love to see us gone and have a godless nation where children are mutilated, where there's no family, where there's no marriage, where there's no God, where there's no nothing. You think, well, that's not true. Then what is this slope that we're on? You put ungodly people in authority, you're going to have an ungodly nation. You say, well, our options are never really godly. Then you run. Get godly and run. Get godly and get in a position where you can make decisions. And if you find one of those people, get behind them and help them. John 15, 18, if the world hates you, you know, like it just reset, but I don't get the Bible. How can you not get this? It's like, dude, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. It's no big shock here. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. That's why they hate you. This isn't complicated. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. You got to get in this frame of mind. People go around saying, oh, America, it's a Christian nation. There's no such thing. Only individuals can be Christians. We are more and more a godless nation than ever before. Because the Christians who actually believe something are all in the closet. And we go hide out in our forts instead of marching on the gates of hell like we're supposed to. You say, but if you march on the gates of hell, they're going to shoot at you. I'd rather go out being shot at than hiding out. Go to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, tremendous. Read this, because it was all going great till he called them out. This is Stephen, first Christian martyr. Acts chapter 7, verse 54. When they heard these things, in other words, he called them out, they were cut to the heart. They gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God and said, he should have kept this to himself, but here we go. Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. I see Jesus. I see him standing at the right hand of the Father. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, ran at him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at his feet, at the feet of a young man named Saul, and they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying. So this is how he, first Christian martyr, this is how he goes out. This is what he's saying. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Still being forgiving, the last thing he says is saying, don't charge it to their account, and dies. You say, well, I don't want to die this way. Now, let me say this as gently as I can. Okay, you don't want to die that way. I don't think I'm crazy about dying that way. Then how are you going to die? And what is going to happen between now and when you die? Well, that's not going to happen to me. What are you going to do? People say, oh, God, give me health and so that I can live. For what? What are you going to do? Oh, I'm going to live another 10, 20, 30, 40 years. For what? You're not doing anything now. What are you going to do for the next 10, 20, 30 years? Well, I'm just going to enjoy God's creation. Okay. All right. What else? I'm going to go to work, provide for my family. The Bible says if you don't provide for your family, you're worse than an infidel. It may not just mean money. It may be spiritual leadership. You're just going to exist? Dude, you got a monster truck, put it in gear and let's go. Let's do something with this life you're asking God to give you. Oh, I'm going to eat healthy so I can live. For what? What are you going to do? You say, well, you're being mean. No, I'm telling you, what are you doing? Well, I'm trying to avoid pain. I'm trying to avoid suffering. I'm trying to avoid persecution. So you hide from all of those things. If you've come to this church, we have a prayer time before we have a last set of music and then the sermon. We got people who won't come to the prayer time because they don't want to hear any else's problems. And so they come in after that until they got problems and they want to show up sharing their problems. You can't avoid problems. There's a war going on. Get in the battle personally and with the rest of believers. I haven't gone over this in a long time. I think I did a sermon a while back called Time Zones. And why I don't know what's going on in our time zone, but I have any number of people who tell me that they get awakened at 3 a.m. If they're older, it's usually to pee, but there are a lot of other people, it's not this. They go, why am I getting awakened at 3 o'clock? I'm going to tell you my theory. There are people, when it's 3 o'clock here, it's the middle of the day somewhere else on the planet. And so the Spirit of God wakes you up. Sorry for the inconvenience, but you're up for the next 30 minutes or an hour to intercede on behalf of a Christian who's being persecuted, about verge of death. And you're going to stand in the gap and you're going to do battle. And sometimes you know who it is and sometimes you don't know who it is. So when you wake up, you go, Lord, am I just awake because I'm awake? Or have you awakened me for a purpose? And listen, he goes, pray. And you say, well, who am I praying for? You don't need to know. Pray. So you begin to pray for other believers around the world who may be in a terrible situation, a dangerous situation. Forget persecution. They could die. And now all of a sudden your inconvenience puts you in the battle as the world spins. And then when we're awake during the day, someone on the other side of the planet is awake and they don't know they're praying for you and your wife and your husband and your family and whatever's going on. Man, I am not a big fan of sitting on a bench. If I'm going to try out for a team, I want to be in the game. Have you ever come across an athlete who's down by the coach going, hey, coach, don't put me in today. In fact, don't put me in ever again. And then you're on the bench and then you're sneaking into the stands and now you're not even in the stands. You're not even in the stadium. And I used to say, put me in, coach. But now I say, put me in first class. Come on, people, that's not complicated. Never say put me in coach, always say put me in first class. Wow, this is a tough crowd. I don't know. I just know either he's coming back or I'm gonna die and meet him. And I would rather have a sword that is chipped, scarred, rusty, than all shined up because I never used it. And where he already knew I'd been down and gotten up and been down and gotten up, but I fought my way to the finish line. Get off your spiritual butt and do something already. All these words are in the King James. Acts chapter 12, verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. This is Herod, the government. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Speaking of swords, has him killed. Acts chapter 14, verse 22. Strengthen the souls of the disciples. Exhort them to continue in the faith and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. Romans 8, 35. I promise I've only got a few dozen more verses. So here we go. No, we're almost there. Romans 8, 35. And who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? The answer is no. Or distress? No. Persecution? No. Famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No. The no's implied here. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Even if you think you're losing, you can't lose. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 58 talks about being raised from the dead, this whole chapter. Then he says at the end, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Philippians 1:29, for to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. 2 Timothy 3:12, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. 1 Peter 4:12, listen to this. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing had happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, listen, blessed are you, and here's why you're blessed. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Who does not want that? But what do you got to do to get to that point? Exceeding joy, reproach for the name of Christ. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. I'll go through that just to get that. And then 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. It's nothing new. It's common all around the planet. And then finally, Revelation 2, verse 10. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. And most of us would say, I'm not interested in a crown of life. I'm interested in living. I don't want to die. Now, I know I push. I'm just reading the scripture. And part of the reason I keep pushing is if we do not figure this thing out, it's not some other place that people live and there's persecution. We will have abandoned the rights that we have in this country, and then we will be the persecuted because we didn't take a stand when we had a chance to take a stand. Amen. And the devil rocks us to sleep. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire for other things. We just, here. Have you ever thought that the devil might be the one blessing you? He just finds out what God won't give you because he'll know it will destroy your life, and then he gives it to you and destroys your life. So before I get out of here, a couple of things I'd like to share. The other day after church, I talked about being the elect, God choosing people. A husband and wife have been in our church for a long time. She comes out the door and she looks at me at the door and says, I want to be picked. And I realized what she was saying. And she had been here forever. And I explained the gospel to her. And she prayed at the door and finally became a Christian. So it is very possible. You say, yeah, I come to this church. I guess I'm a Christian. You're not a Christian unless you're a Christian. Another couple in the church, his parents were in town. They came by the office to say hello. And a woman who they know from Australia, crazy stories, they know each other for 2 decades. She comes with them. Instead of Ubering from the house where they were, she comes to the office to make the Uber cheaper to the airport. So she walks in, sits down, boom, 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 within a few minutes, that woman gets saved.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
And I'm trying to be gentle at the same time. This thing is moving. God is moving. God is working all over the world. You say, but he's not working in my life. Let him work in your life. If you've got sin in your life, confess your sin. He's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Get it out. Get your house clean and let's go. And if you're not a Christian, let's go. You say, well, how do I become a Christian? You just say, God, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I got no excuses anymore. I'm a sinner. And I understand that you love me, that Jesus came, lived, died on a cross, buried, raised from the dead to pay for my sin, to offer me eternal life, forgiveness of my sin. I'm in. Every one of those people I've described today reached out the hand, as it were, of their heart and said, God, save me. And I keep saying this because I think people think this. It can't be that easy. And I always say, easy for who? Easy for me.
I received this priceless gift. Not so easy for God. He had to be willing to sacrifice his son. His son had to be willing to die. A lot of hard stuff went into making this easy possible. So you're not a Christian because you got baptized when you're a baby. You're not a Christian because you were raised in some religious home. You're either a Christian because you are or you aren't. And if it's not personal, you don't know it, please talk to somebody. There's too much at stake. Your eternity, your life.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Things like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer request, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It's easy and much appreciated. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellistalks.com. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.